Good morning. I'd like to welcome everybody today. We have a few visitors with us. We always like to extend a special welcome to you. We're glad that you came to worship our Lord and God together on this first day of the week. This sermon today, I probably could have saved you guys a lot of time and trouble because this is to me specifically. I tend to long for the good old days. I don't know about you. I don't know if you tend to look back fondly and think of the good old days and sometimes long for it. Stacy joked one time, you know, I was complaining about the technology and how just what an idiot I am with computers and different forms of technology. And she said, the best thing about technology to you is its ability for you to live in the past. You know, that I can watch my old reruns of TV shows, that I can listen to my old music and this and that. And I tend to lean in my life toward thinking of the past and sometimes longing for it. You know, I sometimes look at some of the strife and so forth of today and long for the time when America, everybody loved the flag and we were literally the superpower and so forth. You know, I look back fondly with the days when John Wayne was making movies and they had a message of right and wrong. You know, when you turned on the TV and it was shows like Leave It to Beaver and Gunsmoke and Disney and so forth. When we came together, and some of you are old enough to remember World War II and how the nation pulled together unlike any other time we ever did. And we fought that war together. We sacrificed and did what it took to win overwhelmingly that war. But yet, I have to remind myself, looking back for the good old days, for who? Looking back for the good old days, do I want to go back to this? You know, talking about TV. You know, today we have remote control. I was the remote control. Because where we sat in our den, I was the closest to the TV. Just by the nature of who sat where. I was the remote control. Change it to channel 3. Change it to channel 8. Do I want to go back to 3 channels? I remember griping, you know, oh, nothing's on right now. You know, things like that. Do we want to go back to the days of segregation? I want to go back to the good old days. Good old days for who? Do we want to go back to that? And I have to remind myself that yes, there were some good times, but there were some bad too. I remember a friend of mine in the 60s, a friend of mine, Danny Horn's family, built a bomb shelter in their backyard. Where the good ones across the street, they used their extra money to put in a pool. You know, we used our extra money to go to Disneyland. the horns they put in a bomb shelter. I don't know if it was in reaction to the Cuban Missile Crisis, but they were concerned that especially living in Las Vegas, you know, with Nellis Air Force Base, the dam, the test site, we would have been a target. And living in that fear of nuclear annihilation. So the good old days, depending on how you look at it, isn't always what it's cracked up to be. And I need to remind myself, it's not so much the past as right now. What am I doing now? In Esther 4:14, this verse really drives it home to me. Esther was reminded, for if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise from the Jews, for the Jews, from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Esther was in a specific time, specific place, and had the opportunity to serve God or not to serve God. That's not unlike us today. That's not unlike man at any given moment in time. And like Esther, who knows that we might have been put here for our kingdom for such a time as this. There were a group of people, and Hugh read it in the scripture reading today, in Numbers 11, that longed for the good old days. And the Israelites, it says, now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving. Their belly got the best of them. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our whole being is dried up. There is nothing at all except this manna before our eyes. How fast did they forget? They had been in Egypt in bondage, in slavery. They got to see the hand, they saw the hand of God deliver them out of bondage, out of Egypt, and do miracle after miracle, not hearsay. They witnessed it. The plagues, the parting of the Red Sea, their deliverance out of Egypt. Now they are out of Egypt, out of bondage. And it took them that fast to start complaining and yearning for the good old days. The good old days back in Egypt when we were slaves. We had cucumbers and we had melons and leeks, and I don't even know what a leek is. I'd put gravy on it, whatever it was, but and garlic and so forth. We long for that. Our whole being is dried up. There's nothing at all except this manna before our eyes. The manna was directly from God Himself. Amen. What eyes are they looking out of? Oh, the good old days back when we were slaves. It wasn't that good. I saw the movie with Charlton Heston. It wasn't good for them. Then you got to make the bricks without the straw. It wasn't good. I've read the story. I saw the movie. It wasn't good. But they were longing for it. Now, God does want us to remember things. But it's attitude. It's how we look at things. It's how we remember them. In Joshua 4, starting in verse 5, as Joshua took them into the promised land, it says, "And Joshua said to them, 'Cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, "What do these stones mean to you?"'" He wants us to remember. There are certain things God wants us to hearken back to and remember forever. His power, His word, His promises. What do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it crossed over the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial to the children of Israel forever. God wants us to remember certain things. But we tend to remember the unimportant. We tend to focus on things that aren't necessarily good for us. Oh, we want the cucumbers and the leeks and, you know, send us back to slavery so we can have melons, rather than manna straight from God. Seems like that just the fact of having manna alone every day would remind you of God. Seems like. But here, God wants us to remember the right things. In Psalms 105, verse 5, the psalmist wrote, "Remember His marvelous works which He has done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth." This is as applicable today as it was back then. God wants us to remember His marvelous works. He doesn't want us to sit down in the road, have a pity party, poor woe, get the woe is me's. Doesn't want that. He wants us to remember the times He's brought us through. Not saying we can't face some tough situations. We can. Being a Christian doesn't give us a force field around us, protecting us from any and all bad things. You know, if some Christian gave you that impression, they sold you a bill of goods. Because being a Christian does not mean we will not have trials. We will. But we have the strength. And I'll tell you, you think of the things that you've gone through in your life. And some of our lives have been numerous. Some of us have got a list that we can come up with. Some of us have been very blessed and have avoided a few things. Some of us have a list a mile long of trials and tribulations. Bottom line, we're still here. Amen. We're still kicking. We have faced things that we wondered at times, will we get through them? But God's marvelous works, His wonders, the judgments of His mouth that we've got in His Word, that we can read it, it's at a moment's notice, we can open up the Word and read of His works and marvelous wonders. And He wants us to remember that. Not everybody did. Even in the New Testament, not only did the Israelites tend to forget those great things that were being done. The Christians, Paul wrote in Galatians, in the first chapter, he says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. You know, Paul is shocked. Paul, as he says here, I marvel. I'm stunned that you're turning away from the truth so soon. It was the Word of God has been delivered to you. We have established a congregation there in Galatia. And you are turning away to another gospel, which is really not another. There's only one gospel. There's one Lord, there's one faith, there's one baptism. It's not another gospel. And he goes on to say, if we or even an angel bring to you a message different than what you have heard, let him be accursed. And he goes right on and repeats the same thing again. They didn't remember. They did not remember the works of the Lord. They didn't remember His marvelous words that had been established and created their congregations. In 2 Peter, Peter is one of those, he remembered the past. I am sure he was driven like Paul was. Paul remembered. He didn't just shove his past that he had persecuted the church away. He remembered. But he did something about it. Same with Peter. Peter had to choke down the fact that he had denied even knowing Jesus. Probably his best friend. At least somebody earthly that he loved immensely. Bottom line, it was his Christ. He denied even knowing Him. He remembered that he did that. And he repented and he went on to do great things. And in 2 Peter, he addresses people like this. The people like in Galatia that were turning to something different. And he says, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. Once we've escaped the bondage of sin and want to go back to Egypt, want to go back to that bondage, after we've escaped the pollutions of this world through salvation, and if we go back to the world and we leave our salvation behind, we cast it off, turn to that other gospel of the world that Paul warned about. Peter says, the end result is going to be disastrous. And he goes on to make a great comparison. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire. You get that pig clean. You squirt it down, scrub it, and it's squeaky clean. Might even put a little smell good on them, a little foo-foo stuff. A pig's going to be a pig and return to the mud. We have escaped that mud. We've escaped the pollutions of the world. And Peter is saying, don't return. Because if you return, you've got to remember, what have you left? You know, you've left the world. You've left that behind. It's not worth it to go back. Hebrews 10:26, the stark reality of the consequences of that decision to return is, for if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. There's a difference if, you know, when we become a Christian, we're still going to stumble. We're still going to stub our toe with sin. We're going to have the wrong thoughts, the wrong actions, the wrong language at times. But there's a difference in sinning and living in sin. We've left living in sin. We've left it. We've been transformed, as Paul says in Romans 12. We're not conformed to the world anymore. And if we choose to return to that mud hole, if we choose to be like that dog returning to his vomit, there no longer remains a sacrifice. That's a sacrifice that was given once for all. One time. That sacrifice was given once. And if we continue living in sin after we've escaped, there no longer remains a sacrifice for us. Paul addresses this in Philippians, starting in verse 12. Paul was a man that had accomplished a lot. Paul was a man that is past. He had been a Pharisee. He had persecuted the church. He had thrown Christians in jail. But he repented and he became a Christian. He was baptized, and it seems that after that, he never looked back. He just kept working for his Savior. Amen. He remembered his past, and that drove him for his present and his future. But he had left a lot behind. And he said, he's saying in here, starting in verse 12, not that I have already attained, excuse me, or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Here is a man that is in prison, and his attitude is, I press on. What a great attitude. I press on. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Forgetting those things that anchor him down, not longing for that past, not longing for those good old days of sin and bondage, but I press on. I'm sitting in a jail cell, but I press on, and I will continue to work for God as long as I can. That was that attitude. And I'd like to end with this, with the same scripture we started with in Esther. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Rather than longing for the good old days, or the people that are always looking ahead, well, when I get out of this situation, right around the corner, that might be another sermon. Longing for the future. Always looking for the future. Well, what about right now? What about right now? And like Esther, who knows whether we have been put here right now, such a time as this. Not longing for the past, not living only for the future, but what are we doing now? God has plans for us now. God wants us to work for Him now. If you need to kind of rededicate yourself, do so. Tell yourself, I'm going to serve God. If you are not a Christian, you're not serving God. You're not pleasing to God if you're not a Christian. We can solve that. If you've heard the Word of God, if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, if you confess that before men, repent of your sins, be baptized, you will be a Christian. You put on Christ. And then you live the rest of your life not looking back, remembering the good, remembering what God has done for you. You press on like Paul. Keep going forward. If you're stumbling right now due to sin, it's hard to run that race that we're told to run carrying sin with us. It's hard to do. If you've got sin in your life that is slowing you down, that is making it difficult, cast it off. Repent of the sin in your life. Jesus said, unless you repent of your sins, you will all likewise perish. Luke 13:3. If you are looking for a church home and would like to work and worship with us here at South Valley, we would love to have you. And we will put you to work. There's work for you to do in the kingdom. Whatever your need, if you will come forward while Colin leads us in the invitation song, we'll address your needs and appropriately deal with it. Let's stand and sing. Colin?